What's this?
It's gibberish. No. It's a Celtic word. Samhain. It means the Lord of the Dead. The end of summer. The festival of Samhain. October 31st.
Good evening. I'm your host, Isaac Weisenhop. Hey everybody, this is Isaac. Today we're going to do the Halloween special. There's something fun about a Halloween special, isn't there? Well, today we're going to do it. We're going to make that fun a reality. Halloween's got a very special place in my heart. As you know, I've learned a lot on my journey of studying the Illuminati. And as part of that journey is this struggle that I face. The struggle of being intrigued and attracted like a moth to the flame to the dark arts. Now, before I became woke, the level of wokeness I'm at right now, I didn't realize that the satanic agenda at play in entertainment. But hey, it's too late now. I was born and raised on this kind of thing, and I enjoy it. I just try to find a place to not let it influence me negatively, okay? I feel like we can still enjoy some of these darker forms of entertainment. Or maybe that's just an excuse, right? Who cares? It's up to you. I don't care what you do. I'm worried about trying to make sure I live the right, proper life while still enjoying the things I enjoy. And being raised in the 1980s and 90s there, I associate a lot of the greatest horror films of our time. The Halloween movies, the Friday the 13th series, Nightmare on Elm Street, all these gory tales I read from Stephen King with all of his books. I feel like Halloween embodies all of the good parts of these things on this satanic holiday that we're celebrating on October 31st. When I was a kid, I was raised on these 80s horror movies. So it's in my blood. It's in my DNA at this point. there's no turning back. I even liked WCW Wrestling that used to have a Halloween Havoc special every year. We never got it in my house, but it sure looked like fun. It sure looked like a good time. One thing, and I'm going to get into this, don't worry. I'm not going to stretch this intro out too long, but do you recall, I need you to tell me if I'm alone on this. Every year around this time, I have this desire to eat Doritos. And I'm not like a giant Doritos fan. I'm sure it's full of like GMOs and it's a big pharma trap, I'm sure. But for some reason, every year around Halloween, I get this obsession that I gotta eat Doritos. And I do it every year. I cave into it. And I believe it's because back in the 80s or 90s, there was a commercial that had like the Universal Studios monsters. I'm talking like Dracula, Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, that sort of thing. I thought there was a commercial that had those creatures and Doritos. And for some reason, every year that happens. It's a bit of mind control, if you will. But hit me on the socials if you remember that, if you recall that. Am I crazy? Anyways, crazy for Doritos, right? Free spot there, Frito-Lay, good job. So let's talk about Halloween. Let's talk about, is this truly a satanic holiday? The answer is yes. I mean, there's only three satanic holidays in the books. There is Valpurgis Night, or May Day, or Beltane. There's two more. There's Halloween. And you know what number three is? Number three is your birthday. Well, not your, yeah, your birthday, my birthday, your own birthday, right? You know, chew on that for a moment. Let that sink in the next time you want to throw yourself a little narcissistic birthday party. You're participating in a satanic ritual. Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, a.k.a. the Black Pope. He wrote about this in his book called The Devil's Notebook. Short read. But he said, basically, if you're a Satanist, Halloween is supposed to be every night for you. So all the people out there that enjoy Halloween, they're Satanists. Mm-hmm. Believe that. That's the truth, apparently. I enjoy Halloween. I guess I'm a Satanist. But no, seriously, though, the big point is, I've been talking about this for years, is this idea that we actually live in a pretty satanic culture, and it's true. We celebrate the gory holiday of Halloween, and that is, you know, there's like some studies that show the interest and money spent for Halloween is rising at a much higher rate than Christmas. So, what do we do with that? Today I want to cover the fringe elements of this holiday. You could arguably just go to Wikipedia and read their version. They being a collective sort of consciousness, because everyone can contribute to that website. But, you know, that's more of the official version. I want to talk about the fringe stuff, stuff you can't get there. Some of the more occult elements on today's show. And big ups to Jimmy the Jackhammer. He floated this idea. He reached out and floated the idea, and I like it. I like it a lot. It, you know, it's like The Simpsons. They had the Halloween episodes. Those are the best ones. So this would be the best episode of the podcast. So before I get into the pagan rites of Halloween, Samhain, let's talk about the film Halloween. Obviously, this is a standout as one of the greatest horror films of all time. It was, I believe, the biggest moneymaker for an independent film, much less a horror film of all time. If you're not listening to the Halloween Uncovered podcast, I advise that if you're a fan of the movies. I am myself. And I just actually watched the new 2018 film, the Blumhouse Halloween reboot. I've got some notes on that. I'm not gonna spoil that plot for you, okay? But I will tell you something. The intro, the beginning of the film is great. There's a lot of homages to the original Halloween 1 and a couple to Halloween 2 to look for. And Halloween 3. Don't forget Halloween 3, the one that did not have Michael Myers. There are some things I caught in the film because I'm very in tune. I just got done watching the first few. But yeah, in the new Halloween film, you see all these sort of references. You see the masks from Halloween 3 if you look hard enough. Anyways, yeah. I don't want to get into it too much. It's very enjoyable. But the Halloween movie series actually has some very interesting occult connections, which are rooted in reality, which we'll get into in this show. For instance, Michael Myers, he's got a tattoo on his wrist of a rune, a R-U-N-E rune, not a ancient ruin. It's called the Curse of the Thorn, and it plays into the curse of Michael Myers. This idea that he is related to the ancient pagan sacrifices. And what's curious is that in the new Halloween film, there's also a tattoo element to the plot. One of the young men gets a 1031 2018 tattoo. The mark of the beast, if you will. The mark. Remember that? The tattoos used to be considered a bit satanic themselves, and today's culture, tattoos are very commonplace. They said you weren't supposed to defile God's creation with the tattoos. You know, I don't know if it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you what they say. Now, Halloween 3, that film has occult connections when you consider that the whole plot, and I will spoil this plot, so if you've been waiting for the right time to watch Halloween 3, it's been 30 years, it's time to check it out. But the masks that the little kids wear, they have pieces of Stonehenge in them. Now, Stonehenge plays into this whole Halloween, Samhain thing because the pagans did sacrifice rituals there on October 31st every year. And Halloween 3 also has a bit of sort of Westworld feel when you find out the people are these robots. But anyways, so the film Halloween, while it's not loaded down with tons of occult imagery, there are some interesting connections there to consider. So, looking at the date for Halloween, are there pagan roots for this holiday? Yes, absolutely. We'll go a bit deeper into that as well, but the main idea here is that Halloween is one of two fire festivals held by the pagan Celtic traditions. The other is May Day. Of course, it's Valpurgis Night, right? In the satanic Church of Satan, like I said, there's three holidays. There's Valpurgis Night, Halloween, and your birthday. So All Hallows Eve, October 31st, is also the day before All Saints Day, November 1st. They were, that was the New Year's Eve was October 31st. Because these, you know, these main dates, they divided the year up into two to coincide with the pastoral lives of the Celts that had to rotate their crops out and the cattle to prepare for the seasons. So these traditions, like in Ireland, they would light the bonfire on October 31st, and it would light all the other flames and try to keep the flames alive all year long. But October 31st was basically the pagan New Year's Eve. A riotous affair, if you will. The European cultures also celebrate this as the passage from autumn to winter, representing the day that the veil was the thinnest and the souls would visit, or revisit, I should say, their homes that their families lived in. Now, the consideration here for the bonfires. And you've seen Wicker Man, the 1973 version Wicker Man. That all takes place up in that area, up in the Scottish Highlands. And they're referencing this druid, rich pagan history that they've got up there. And what that film is about the human sacrifices. You would load the sacrifice up into the giant Wicker Man, light it on fire as a sacrifice to the gods. Which is what the Burning Man Festival is every year, too. It's the same thing. Light your sacrifice chamber on fire. Now, if you look at Moloch in terms of Illuminati symbolism, we talk about Moloch often. He is the horned bull god of the Mesopotamian culture. The Canaanites in the Bible talked about this. They would sacrifice their babies to the bull god, the Moloch, Baal, B-A-A-L. And the Baal fires became Baal fires. It became bonfires. It's all the same thing. So, looking at the rituals of this day, you see all these cultures in Europe, they would light the bonfires, the Baal fires, on October 31st and try to keep that flame alit all year long. Now, if you look at the Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey asserts that all of these things are based off Druid rituals that happen on Halloween. They're based off of Druid practices when the spirits of the dead and the demons and the witches were hyperactive. Back then, the young people would perform magic rituals to determine their future marriage partners, while the older people barricaded themselves inside in fear of all these evil spirits and witches and demons that had the extra powers on that night. Again, if you take the big picture look at all this, ritual magic, witchcraft, Satanism, paganism, druids, and today's Halloween, We can see that they're all kind of connected. The Church of Satan, they practice witchcraft and magic rituals and such. it's all kind of related to this idea that man can become God and man can use the thoughts to create reality. As above, so below. You hear that phrase often because that's what they believe in. That's what that little Satanist Harry Potter believes in. Creating man's mental emanations create the reality. Now, before we dive into more Halloween topics, Rocky Horror Picture Show, that is an annual ritual as well. It's the longest running theater, picture, and it happens every year. I know because I attend. I'm a big fan. I know I'm being naughty, but the because this tale is all about these sexual aliens who come to Earth as the Luciferian force to enlighten Brad, asshole, Janet, slut. Those are the call and responses in the theater, by the way. I would never slut shame Janet. But that's what we yell when she comes out. Janet is the Scarlet Woman, the Whore of Babylon, the Harbinger of Death. That is what Marjorie Cameron, Aleister Crowley, they were all looking for or pretending to be the Scarlet Woman. I guess you can figure out who was who, right? But anyways, I wrote a whole book on Rocky Horror Picture Show if you're interested in that topic. It's the best one you'll ever find. It's the only one you'll ever find. It's called It's Just a Jump to the Left, The Unauthorized Guide to Occult Symbolism in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's actually a component of a larger assembly of books called Alice in Rocky Horrorland if you want to learn more about Rocky Horror, Alice in Wonderland, Google and the Transhuman Death, and what was the other book in that one? The Alchemist. Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist. I'll talk about that. But anyways, you can get all those on Amazon or Audible, by the way. The Rocky Horror one, when I studied to write that, it blew my mind. I didn't realize how much cult influence this somewhat innocent movie had. I was shocked to see these pansexual Nazi aliens and Aleister Crowley's Aeon of Horus coming true in this annual ritual. Of course, Dr. Frankenfurter, he's the androgynous Baphomet, the reconciled opposite, the male and female elements all in one. So, I don't want to go deep into that because in the past, if you go back in the podcast directory a couple years, you'll find the Rocky Horror Picture Show episode. So if you've already heard that, you know, sorry. But yeah, if you follow me on Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, I may, and I emphasize may, because I'm not promising you this, but there's a very strong chance I might dress up as Dr. Frankenfurter this year as the alchemical reconciled opposite, and I'll put a picture on there for you. Maybe. We'll see. All right. Okay, so let's get into Halloween a bit deeper, right? I created an analysis a year ago. Actually, I wrote one several years ago, but then I kind of cleaned it up based upon new understandings because previously I felt like it had a bit too much of a satanic panic element in it. So let's get into it. Samhain, what looks like it's spelled like Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain. Don't ask me why. It's the pagan New Year. The witch's greatest holiday runs, of course, over October 31st, and originally celebrated in the British Isles and Scotland, of course, with the Celtic pagan roots I talked about earlier. But the witches believe it marks a day of death for the horned god and the beginning of the new year. This was taken out of the Complete Idiot's Guide to Wicca and Witchcraft. So I didn't want the readers to think I was being a bit I don't know, extreme with Christian views, but that's what that's what it says in there. It says that the witches believe it is the day of the dead for the horned god, because the stag god is celebrated by these witches. That's why you see the horned deity, Moloch. Okay. Now, another book we need to look at is The Golden Bough, James Frazier's The Golden Bough Study of Magic and Religion. And he describes the commemoration of Samhain as an annual ritual. He says, in ancient Ireland, a new fire used to be kindled every year on Halloween or the eve of Samhain. And from this sacred flame, all the fires in Ireland were rekindled. Such a custom points strongly to Samhain or All Saints Day as New Year's Day, since the annual kindling of a new fire takes place most naturally at the beginning of the year. And that's what I was talking about earlier, okay? So the idea that October 31st represents New Year's Eve only further emphasizes the idea that this is a ritualistic concept we have. Every year it repeats. And when you talk about repeating rituals, you have to look at the blood sacrifice.
You don't really know much about Halloween. You thought no further than the strange custom of having your children wear masks and go out begging for candy. It was the start of the year in our old Celtic lands, and we'd be waiting in our houses of wattles and clay. The barriers would be down, you see, between the real and the unreal. And the dead might be looking in to sit by our fires of turf. Halloween. The festival of Samhain. The last great one took place 3,000 years ago, and the hills ran red with the blood of animals and children. Sacrifices, part of our world, our craft.
Witchcraft.
To us, it was a way of controlling our environment. It's not so different now. It's time again. In the end, we don't decide these things, you know. The planets do. They're in alignment. And it's time again. The world's going to change tonight, Doctor. I'm glad you'll be able to watch it.
This is another popular concept. Halloween is the commemoration and visitation of the dead. The witches, they celebrate by partaking of a meal in which every bite is used to focus on a particular memory of someone they lost. And this transition period for the celebration of the dead was also believed to be when the dead would revisit their homes. Again, that was taken from the Golden Bough. I can read that for you here. It says, another circumstance of great moment which points to the same conclusion is the association of the dead with Halloween. Not only among Celts, but throughout Europe, Halloween, the night which marks the transition from autumn to winter, seems to have been of old the time of year when the souls of the departed were supposed to revisit their old homes in order to warm themselves by the fire and to comfort themselves with the good cheer provided for them in the kitchen or the parlor by their affectionate kinsfolk. Now, as far as the human sacrifice ideas, on Wikipedia, you could consolidate a few of the Irish mythologies. The website claims that the tales suggest offerings and sacrifices were made at Samhain, and they cite the Book of Invasions, which says that Samhain and the people of the Nemed had to give 2/3 of their children corn and milk. Not the corn, not the milk. To these monsters called the Fomorians. And the Fomorians seem to represent harmful or destructive powers of nature, personifications of chaos, darkness, death, blight, and drought. Now, the tribute paid by the people of the Nemeds represented a sacrifice offered at the beginning of winter. And it goes on and on. But the idea here is that, you know, winter starts. Here's your blood sacrifice. And the Celts, they also were alleged to have been sacrificing the humans and animals in these large bonfires or ball fires, as we talked about. They could have been trying to break the spells of witches, or they could have been conducting the Druid Wicker Man burnings. Fraser in the Golden Bough also did some studies on this and suggested that they weren't just regular people that were being sacrificed, but they were actually witches, is what he believed. Taking a small excerpt, looking at why were men and animals burnt to death at these festivals? If we are right in interpreting the modern European fire festivals as attempts to break the power of witchcraft by burning or banning the witches and warlocks, it seems to follow that we must explain the human sacrifices of the Celts in the same manner. That is, we must suppose that the men whom the Druids burnt in wickerwork images were condemned to death on the ground that they were witches or wizards. Goes on a bit further, blah, blah, blah. Cut through, it says, they, too, we may conjecture, were supposed to be either under the spell of witchcraft or actually to be the witches and wizards who had transformed themselves into animals for the purpose of prosecuting their infernal plots against the welfare of their fellow creatures. So again, there's a bit of vagueness here, but it's pretty safe to say that blood sacrifices were conducted on this date. Whether or not it was a persecution of witches, or maybe the druids conducting the sacrifices for the horned god, maybe, it's hard to say. Speaking of the horned god, these pagan cultures, they worshipped the stag god, represented by the stag. The elk. Is an elk a stag? I don't know, I'm not a hunter. But it represents the hunt and the animal giving up its life in order to keep the hunter alive. Again, it's a sacrifice idea here. So the stag god is a consort to the triple goddess. These are in witchcraft, Wicca. In fact, Lady Gaga was embodied and pictured as the triple goddess. If you, I'm trying to think, it was on a magazine cover. Anyways, I did an analysis, is Lady Gaga in the Illuminati, and it's on there. But yeah, she's clearly depicted as the triple goddess, maiden, mother, and crone. Which the triple goddess focuses on Samhain through the crone goddess as well. Now, Fraser, he elaborated upon this idea of sacrifice through fire, which is technically defined as Holocaust, which brings a very disturbing element to the, you know, Hitler Holocaust thing, right? I don't know, why do we call it that? That's pretty terrible, huh? Anyways, the sacrifice through fire, the Holocaust, in which he associates many traditions of a similar nature. And some are pagan, which supports this idea that they sacrifice humans to a pagan deity more so than the idea of burning the witches. And he says, now, in the fire festivals which we are discussing, the pretense of burning people is sometimes carried so far that it seems reasonable to regard it as a mitigated survival of an older custom of actually burning them. Thus is Achan, as we saw, the man clad in pea straw acts so cleverly that the children really believe he's being burned. In Normandy, the man clad all in green, who bore the title of the Green Wolf, was pursued by his comrades, and when they caught him, they feigned to fling upon the midsummer bonfire. Similarly, at the Beltane fires in Scotland, the pretended victim was seized and a show made of throwing him into the flames, and for some time afterwards, people affected to speak of him as dead. Now, rewind two sentences there. He talked about the different cultures that conducted this sort of mock sacrifice, very similar to Bohemian Grove with the cremation of care mock sacrifice. But anyways, he talked about the Green Wolf, which I found curious because in the new Halloween film, at the beginning, and this isn't a plot spoiler, at the beginning, you hear them saying, you'll hear the phrase "feed the wolf." Let's just say that. And I thought that was very disturbing, and I wasn't sure why. Could it be a reference to the sacrifice ritual? Now, when we talk about the fires that they set, this practice of setting fires has roots in worship of the sun, which, when you look at the Illuminati or the Illuminated Ones, you can't go too far without reading about solar worship. Frazier offered up an explanation on the solar theory as well. He says, "But we naturally ask, how did it come about that benefits so great and manifold were supposed to be attained by means so simple? In what way did people imagine they could procure so many goods or avoid so many ills by the application of fire and smoke, embers and ashes?" Two different explanations of the fire festival have been given. On the one hand, it has been held that they are sun charms or magical ceremonies intended on the principle of imitative magic to ensure a needful supply of sunshine for men, animals, and plants by kindling fires which mimic on Earth the great source of light and heat in the sky. It may be called the solar theory. So it seems through imitative magic, they're trying to, it's kind of a rain dance, right? They're trying to make the sun provide for them. So we see this link here, this link between the fires, the sacrifice, the sun deities, ritual magic, and all these themes we've been exploring in our entertainment to this day. I don't need to tell you about all the examples, but it's happening, right? Now, one of the practices of Halloween is divination. Earlier we talked about these young couples that would perform divination in the Druid cultures to try to make contact with these entities from another dimension to tell them the future. Now the origins of Halloween's divination practices come from Samhain, of course, and the Celts. On the new year, they would use this to predict their fortunes. From the book, we can read, it says, "Another confirmation of the view that the Celts dated their year from the 1st of November is furnished by the manifold modes of divination, which were commonly resorted to by Celtic peoples on Halloween for the purpose of ascertaining their destiny." So when you hear about that, again, we can root this back to the pagan cultures. Now, many people believed that the devil was the one assisting in predicting the future. And what's curious here is that they would look at the eaten apples to determine if the shape of the remains were similar to a letter. And the letter would be symbolic of the name of the mate that the person could have. But the apples, if you look at when you cut it in half, you can see there's a five-pointed star made from the core there, the pentacle. And of course, the five-pointed star represents earth, wind, fire, water, and spirit. And this is important in the culture of witchcraft. And of course, they would use these divinations for other things, like how many children would they have, how long would they live. But anyways, attempts to read the future are definitely occult in nature. And Halloween is known for a day as the most popular day for divination. And when you see people put up decorations of bats and owls and black cats, these were believed to be incarnations of the devil as part of the divination process. And the witches could use these animals or powers from the Dark Lord to help predict the future. And some of the more conservative Christian schools of thought believe that only the devil can provide these powers of fortune telling, which is why there's the Faustian bargain theories and the idea of signing the contract with the devil. Now, the first article I wrote on Halloween was derived from Christian resources, Okay. Like a book called Pagan Traditions of the Holidays, written by Dr. David Ingraham. And I will talk about this now, but I'm going to tell you it comes from a biased point of view. Now, whatever team you're on, I don't know, but I just want to be upfront about that because I am fair and balanced. I'm like Fox News. They claim they are, but you're getting fair and balanced information right here because I'm only interested in the truth and that is it. So looking at the Druid cultures, during Halloween, they would gather at the Stonehenges of Europe. And I read someone's account of this, and they said that the Druids indeed would gather, and the witches would practice the human sacrifice. They would hollow out the pumpkins and the turnips and carve faces in them. And then they would use candles made from human fat to illuminate these things, which is where you get the pumpkins on the front porch. And again, the Druids would play these games like bobbing for apples and perform sex magic, have a little sexy time known as the Great Rite up near Stonehenge. So that was an assessment I read about it from a guy who claimed he was from a line of witches. So the gourds and the pumpkins, they were called corpse candles, now known as jack-o'-lanterns, again, filled with human fat, sacrificed to the gods. The druids would also bring cauldrons and light them on fire, preparing for the human sacrifices. And the druids would knock on the doors of the local people and yell trick-or-treat to see if the lord of the manor would come to provide a treat. And the treat would be one of the servants, or maybe even one of the family members, given up for sacrifice that night. And the reward in turn for the treat would be a pumpkin filled with human fat that they could light, so that everyone in the house would be protected from the demonic spirits present on Samhain. I don't know about you, but if someone pushed me out the door for a sacrifice, I wouldn't be too thrilled about that. Some family member that would be. Now, if you look at the symbols of Halloween, if you didn't give up an offering, maybe you don't want to give up your siblings or whatever, you'd get a six-pointed star inside of a circle, a hexagram, painted with blood on the front door. And this would attract the demons, and the people inside would be plagued with these demonic curses during Samhain. Now, these human sacrifices, they would be gathered up, and the druids would throw apples into the cauldrons and give the humans a chance to pull the apples out with their teeth for a chance for freedom. I mean, note, the cauldrons were boiling hot for the sacrifices, and some went for it, and they'd get burned with, you know, permanent damage or whatever. But those who did not get the apple on the first try were beheaded immediately. And those who avoided the challenge altogether would be sacrificed in a fiery death. Now, I don't know who wouldn't try for the apple, but that's what the book said, okay? And, of course, there was a wicker man with the wicker cages inside of it. They would put Nicolas Cage inside of the wicker man and light it on fire, sacrifice to the gods, because we only give our best and brightest, and that would be Nicolas Cage. But yeah, the Burning Man ceremony, of course, is part of this, right? Now, when we talk about costumes, there's a ritual known as guising, where disguises were worn from house to house, portraying dead spirits wandering the streets. Because as you know, they claim that the veil is thin and the spirits would be visiting their homes. So people would dress up as these spirits, and they would be offered a treat so they wouldn't start problems with the homeowners. And at first, the people would place the hollowed out pumpkins and food on the front step to guide these spirits. And it would evolve, of course, into handing out candy to the children. Now, speaking of the thin veil, there is a belief that the spirits were able to cross over between our world and theirs. And the 3 days around Samhain are the most potent times of the year for divination and sacrifice for this reason. Because it's easy transportation of energy across this barrier. And since the veil between the worlds is the thinnest, you can see into the realms of the spirit world and the fairies. And the witches and the pagans, they believe that the death and life go hand in hand, that we just transport across this barrier. You can't have one without the other, and we should celebrate both. So when they let go of the lost ones, it opens the door for something new, which is why, as part of the triple goddess, the mother, maiden, and crone, the crone is worshipped during Halloween. She is the oldest woman. She is the depiction for death. So how interesting is this? When we look at Halloween, it's very controversial in nature, but I believe we can call it a satanic holiday. And I say this for a couple of reasons. If you look at the roots of magical practice, the Church of Satan, of course, calls out this as one of the great holidays. And this Church of Satan practices ritual magic. That's not to say everyone who practices magic worships Satan, but the Church of Satan doesn't even worship Satan officially. Don't ask me how that works. But it's very interesting because the popularity of Halloween is increasing. The occult revelation of the method has been more present in recent times than ever before. TV shows and movies like Lucifer, The Exorcist, The Magicians, Supernatural, Salem, of course the Halloween films that we talked about already, Harry Potter, Ghost Adventures. There's a million ghost hunting shows. If you like ghost hunting, this is your month. If you like sports, this is your month too. On a side note, every sports ball game out there is happening right now. So, but yeah, that is what I wanted to get into today. I want to get into all the fringy sort of elements of Halloween because, let's face it, BuzzFeed and those kind of websites that do this stuff too, they're lame. They are lame-o McLamersons. But yeah, that wraps up all of the research. That's a lot of it come from the Golden Bough and, of course, Anton LaVey's writings because he was very much interested in Halloween. Samhain. So the next time someone says that Halloween is not a satanic holiday, you can correct them and say, oh, yes, it is. It's actually one of three satanic holidays. But I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for putting the reviews out there on iTunes. We're almost up to 300, folks. We're almost up to 300, and that means a lot to me. I want to get the numbers up there. Big ups to Denelig, Tarot Gal 1239, Duke Jules, Sarah, Moyette 1964, Mrs. Diva 1971, and all the other people leaving comments and reviews on iTunes. I do appreciate that. I do read them all, and I actually take your advice to heart and your feedback. So lay it all out on the line. I got a thick skin. I can take it. But yeah, thanks for the reviews. Thanks for reviews on Amazon for my books. Again, if you want to celebrate Halloween, get the Rocky Horror Picture Show book. I called it It's Just a Jump to the Left. It's available on Amazon and Audible. You can get it as part of a larger collection of books I wrote called Alice in Rocky Horrorland. Again, Amazon and Audible. And in the Rocky Horror thing, I've got like little screenshots too. It's pretty cool. So, anyways, I want to thank you for listening. As always, be your best for those who deserve your best.